I'm Mindy Todd. Welcome to The Point. We've all heard the saying, laughter is the best medicine. Humor and laughter triggers healthy physical changes in your body, and it's contagious. Don't believe me? Here's a test. Take a listen and try not to chuckle yourself. Today, the power of humor and a program that engages students in creative writing, communication, and critical thinking, as well as team and confidence building. Kevin Flynn is a producer, educator, and stand-up comedian. He's the creator of the educational program Stand Up and Learn and the founder of the Nantucket Comedy Festival. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Mindy. That's a great intro. The power of humor. It's wonderful. And then to hear that wonderful little laugh I did, I laughed myself. So it worked.
You can't at least smile. I mean, a baby laughing is the best.
I laughed.
All right. So the Nantucket Comedy Festival was actually born out of something not funny at all, a series of suicides. So tell us how this all came to be.
Well, you know, I've been out on Nantucket for many summers, but I live in New York City. And one of the years, it was the winter, and I opened up the New York Times, and there was an article about a rash of suicides on Nantucket. They had called them a cluster of suicides. And one of the boys I knew, I had sort of coached him with some soccer, and it hit me. And I tried to think, well, here I am far away from this island, but it's an island that is so much a part of me. And I thought, what can I do to sort of help? And I decided to bring out some comedians. A lot of these kids that I had talked to and worked with as a soccer coach, they talked about all the comedians that I had met, Jim Gaffigan, Brian Regan, and you know, what were they like, and how did they come up with their stuff? And I thought, if there's anything I can do, I can bring these guys, these men and women out there, and we can have a festival. And we started to have, we had a bunch of workshops for kids, and it was packed, and the kids were asking questions, and they were so engaged. And one of the teachers said to me, it reminded her of, you know, how music engages kids. They're learning so much without knowing it. They're kind of enjoying themselves. And they were so into comedy that we thought, you know, here the festival was a success, but these workshops were great. But how do you have a kid, you know, do stand-up comedy in one day on a workshop or even 3-4 days over the course of the festival? You know, they had a good time, but I wanted to think of a way that I could engage them in a year-round way. And so I started to develop this program called Stand Up and Learn, where it just teaches kids to tell a story and find the funny within the story. And in the process, it builds up self-confidence and self-esteem. It has them to think, has them thinking critically. And it's wonderful to watch a 14-year-old girl go up in front of her parents and peers and start to talk about her life. Mm. And it's pretty amazing. So we've had a lot of success with it, and now we're the festival's in its 7th year, and the Stand Up and Learn program is growing and growing.
Yeah, matter of fact, it started in Nantucket, but you've got other schools now, the Gateway School in New York City, the Devereaux Glenholm School in Washington, Connecticut, Cape Cod Conservatory, so this is the curriculum is spreading.
Yeah, we've done weekend workshops at a lot of those places. The great story is the Gateway School, because they had heard about Stand Up and Learn and approached me about bringing something to their school. Now, many of their students are learning disabled, and they were looking for alternate ways to educate them. And Stand Up and Learn is basically what they were looking for. They wanted some of their students to get up there and stand up in front of their class, look at their classmates in the eyes, tell a story, get on their feet. You know, all of these skills that, not to be a stand-up comic, but basically these skills that we can use in our everyday life. Whether you're talking to a group of people or at a dinner party or at a job that you may have. So we have worked with those kids, and now it's a yearly thing. The kids work all year with the Stand Up and Learn program, and then they perform at a comedy club, and it's a full house at Gotham Comedy Club in New York City. And, boy, I tell you, it just not only are you laughing very hard at the things that these kids come up with, these young students come up with, but you're – you know, there's a part of you that starts to cry as well, because it's wonderful to watch. It's so empowering.
Yeah. Now, 6 workshops this winter and spring with over 100 kids. So how many of them will be performing at the Comedy Festival?
Not 100. That would be a long night, Mindy.
It sure would.
Buddy, I think I've done a couple of open mic nights in Boston when I was starting out. It felt like 100 performers up there. But basically what happens, you know, a lot of the kids, they leave for the summer, or, you know, lots of different things happen. But we generally will have about 8 to 10 students who have come through the program. We'll be performing at the Dreamland Theater next Wednesday night. And one of the great things is you get to see the kids. It'll be a packed house at the Dreamland. So for them, you know, they're tired of performing for us, because you have to basically write your story, hone it, get it down, tighten it up, find places where you can, you know, tweak the funny in there, and you keep rehearsing it, you know, with your peers in the classroom. But by the time they get in front of, you know, 350 people, it's fantastic to watch them. They're so like, wow, this is a blast. Yeah. They're having a good time. So we'll have probably about 8 to 10 performers next Wednesday at the Dreamland.
Oh, and
the one great thing we do is, you know, I'll have over 20 comedians out on Nantucket, and I, you know, have a few of them sit in the audience, and they talk to the kids about what they saw.
Mm.
So, you know, one of them is he was the warm-up comic for Letterman, and he also produced the stand-up comedy segment for Letterman for many years. Eddie Brill will be there. Tom Cotter, who was the finalist in America's Got Talent, will be there, and, you know, some other comedians who give them feedback. And so the kids just love it. And it's really interesting because the adults want to hear what the professional comedians say about the kids as well, because mm-hmm. it's very insightful about the profession.
And, of course, you bring big-name comedians to the festival, but also in the off-season, you have a couple of pros come to perform and also help with the kids' workshops. So this isn't the first time they're dealing with pros.
Right. Well, this has been a new manifestation of the comedy festival. I was doing some workshops for the kids on Saturday afternoons during the course of the winter in the off-season months. And this was the first year. We actually did 8, Mindy, where we did 8 times during the course of the year, went out on Saturday afternoon. I would, you know, conduct a workshop with kids. It's open enrollment, so some would come back. There would be new kids there. You know, some days we'd have 30 kids, and some days just 8. But they would all come back, and, you know, they'd get a notebook, and, you know, I'd tell them to start to capture their ideas down and work on the ones we talked about that day and start to capture the ideas that they came up with after that. And that night, we would have a regular comedy show for the adults. So I said, the kids would do the daytime workshop and then perform for their parents at the end of the workshop. And then that night, the professional comics who were helping me all day perform at night. So there was something for everybody.
Yeah, I was good. Well, listen, one of the other highlights is the whole New York versus Boston SmackDown.
Yeah, well, this has been, the first year I started the festival, I had all my buddies out there, all these comics, and I started doing stand-up in Boston, and then moved to L.A. and New York, so I sort of knew all these guys, and I was trying to think on Saturday night, I said, let's put all these guys to work since they're all out here for the workshops and everything, and I came up with this idea to do New York versus Boston, and boy, it was, the comics love each other, so it's all in fun, but they're generally sitting on 2 benches, you have 6 comics, and it goes up, they go back to back, and people really get into it, because at the end of the day, we pick a winner, and people, want their city to win,
yeah.
Funniest city, so it's a lot of fun.
Now, there certainly seems to be people who are just born funny, but mm-hmm. not to worry, it's something you can actually learn, right?
Yeah, I always equate it with sort of athletic ability. You can be a natural athlete, and things come easier to you, or you can develop certain skills, and that's what we try to do. I don't necessarily hope or want these kids go into stand-up comedy, because they'll be staying, doing Uncle Bucky's Chuckle Hut and staying in a Motel 8 somewhere in Missouri. But we want them to develop the skills that they can use in real life. So that's really what we aim for.
Yeah, so just talking about some of the skills, they learn the psychology of humor. Good to know what makes something funny, right? So you talk about that.
Right, and there's the surprise element and the ways to exaggerate, if even to say very simple things like, my grandmother always says, I can't do this. We say, my grandmother, it's like 100,000 times a day, she says. Well, does she really say it 100,000 times a day? No, but you're exaggerating.
Mm-hmm.
I also tell the kids to not let the facts get in the way of a good story. we all know with like our relatives, if they start to tell you a story and they're like, was it 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock? I forget. I think it was probably more like 9:45. Your father and I were, what time was it? So it does not matter what time it was. Get through the story.
Right.
And this is what we work on with the kids with their stories. If it's going to visit their grandmother over Christmas vacation, we listen to the story. And then, you try to cut it to about 2-3 minutes and then take that and find places where they can do the way their grandpa walks or what he says or, what it was like going through airport security. And when you hear it from a 14-year-old, I don't care how many times you've heard airline jokes, when you hear a 14-year-old doing airline jokes, and from their perspective, it's absolutely magical.
That's funny. So it's the art of storytelling. It's the creative writing skills. You're analyzing performance clips. And the other part of this, working in a cooperative team environment, this comes to that confidence building. You were saying earlier, you know, the 14-year-old girl who gets up on stage. At 14, I would have been mortified to get up on stage. So, I mean, that's a great skill to be able to help a teenager be able to speak in front of public, you know, the public.
Right. And this is why I want everyone to go up in front. And even, you know, sometimes they're there, so I know they do want to go up, but it's very intimidating to go up on stage like that. So what I try to do is, and look, I'm from an athletic background, and we had our team. And together, you know, we're stronger. And so the kids aren't off the hook when they're not up there. If Josh is up talking about his story, at the end of it, I want everybody to have something positive to say or ideas that Josh could put and insert into his story. So you're sort of always on. So you're writing, and how many times Mindy, this probably happened to you, you're writing, boy, you wish you had somebody there to kind of give you an idea or something.
Right.
The kids give each other ideas, and so what happens is it starts to build this team-building thing where they say, like, okay, we're all going to have to go up, so let's all focus when the other person's up there. We're all going to get to give some feedback, all positive, and we can sort of start to cobble together all these ideas, some of which we're not the performers. And that's like the writer's room. You know, writers sit around and they throw funny stuff out. And I always tell the kids, no bad ideas. Bad ideas lead to good ideas. It's just ideas are ideas. And you know, I said most of my ideas have not worked out on stage, but it leads me to something fun.
This other thing, learn to deal with hecklers. Wow, how do you teach them that?
Well, I tell you what, that's almost the first question that adults and kids always ask a professional stand-up comic. And so I try to just jump into it right away. Two things. The late-night drunk crowds that I have dealt with in my life, these kids, thankfully, do not have to deal with that. It's always very supportive audiences. And I think even, you know, for me, as a professional performer, comedian, the crowd is generally, they want you to be funny. They really do. So I try to tell the kids that this is a very supportive crowd. People will be here. They'll be really excited that you are, have overcome all this. No one wants to get up on stage in front of hundreds of people, but you did it. So just doing that in and of itself is a huge accomplishment, and they will be supportive, believe me. And the kids sort of were like, no one will heckle. I said, I guarantee you. And if they do, I'll come out and I'll handle them. Don't you worry about it. You just tell your funny story, and I guarantee you that the place will love it. And, I must say, no one's ever heckled the kids.
Right. Well, let's hope not, right?
Yeah, I've been heckled plenty of times, but never the kids.
Yeah. So you say that comedy is healing. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, listen to the last track that you had when we started this. There is something that, You go for a long run, it releases endorphins. You just get a better feeling just having accomplished and done something. If I'm with my friends or anyone and I'm having a good laugh, my God, it's a wonderful world. It's sort of, you know, even in some of your toughest, darkest times, if we have the ability to laugh at the situation, we just feel a whole lot better about the world and about ourselves. So, I wish that comedy and the way I have viewed things in my later life, I wished that I had had this when I was 14, 15, because you talk about going to your grandmother's, I'll use the example again, for Christmas. Well, guess what? You're talking about it, but a lot of other kids are out there who went to their grandmother's for Christmas, and they have their own story. And so they start to empathize with each other and identify with each other and say, you know, at 14 years old, Mindy, we're all thinking, we're always so self-conscious and you know, you're alone and nobody understands me and I have no voice. This is a way for kids to just get up there. And when one kid talks about his dog or his grandmother, the vacation of his grandmother, they all start to talk about the same thing. So they're suddenly like, you know, sharing this experience with each other. They have shared experiences. And we realize, look, we're all humans here. We're not, you know, you look over at that group. That's why I make everyone go up, because, you know, at 14, you could easily turn into the two snarky kids in the corner who are not going to go up and are laughing because, you know, everyone else is going up and making fools of themselves. It's not like that. I tell the kids, we're all a team here. We're all helping each other out, and we're all on deck.
One of the things that with the supportive audience that the kids don't have to worry about, but the pros like you do, is is being able to read the audience. And, you know, you can have a really funny joke with one audience, and then the next night you're going, why aren't they laughing?
That's your, you realize, look, you tell a funny story, you tell it at a different dinner party or something else, it doesn't, you don't tell it the same way, and it doesn't go over the same way. So you do have to look at people in the eyes, bring them in. If you look at them, they're going to be as nervous as you are because they think you might talk to them. So, but when you have a conversation with someone, you have to look at them in the eye. So that's an old stand-up comics trick, which is just you literally talk to people in the front that you can see, and it grounds you, and it kind of brings them in, and it brings you in. And you start to tell a real story. So, you know, for these kids, they've done it so many times in the classroom, but by the time they get in front of an audience, it's like... They have that moment. You see their eyes open wide up when they get that first big laugh, and they're almost like, what is that? This is awesome.
Nantucket Comedy Festival runs July 16th through the 19th. We'll put a link on our website so folks can check out the various events and how to get tickets, capeandislands.org. Kevin Flynn, so nice to talk to you as always. Thanks.
Minnie, thanks so much. Be well.
Coming up after a break, we talk with Thomas Moore, author of A Religion of One's Own.